1 John chapter 4. And the Bible says this, starting at verse number 1, says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them." Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to preach the word of God tonight, and I ask that you would help me. I need your help. Holy Spirit, fill me. Lord, forgive me, for I fall so short. And Lord, I pray that you would bless this church. And I know you have. I hear the reports, and I'm excited, even though we're 1,800 miles away. I'm excited about what's going on here. And Lord, I'm so thankful for what you're doing right here in Jacksonville, Indiana, and the surrounding areas. And God, I pray, though, that tonight we just lock in on you for a moment. And I know people have worked hard today, and things are going on in their life, and so many things circle through their heart and mind. But Lord, I pray that all those things would be put away just for a moment. We'd meet with you. And God, may our hearts be clear tonight, open and receptive. In Jesus' name, pray and ask these things. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Two frogs fell into a can of cream, or so I've heard it been told. The sides of the can were shiny and steep. The cream was deep and cold. "Oh, what's the use?" croaked frog number one. "This is fate. No help's around. Goodbye, my friends. Goodbye, sad world." And weeping still, he drowned. But number two, of sterner stuff, dog paddled in surprise, and while he wiped his creamy face and dried his creamy eyes, "I'll swim a while at least," he said, or so I've heard he said. It really wouldn't help the world if one more frog were dead. An hour or two he kicked and swam, not once to stop and mutter. He kicked and kicked and swam and kicked, then he simply hopped out via butter. Funny, isn't it? Yeah. Well, I find this story humorous, just like some of you and others of you just need to get some humor. But it serves as a great illustration concerning people and their attitudes toward adversity. There are those that get caught in adversity and simply give up, and then there are those that continue to press on and make the most of the circumstances to come out for the better. We must understand, all of us must understand, that we will face adversity. There is no escaping it. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ promised that there would be adversity. But there are, or is, a way to overcome adversity. There's a young man that recently came back to Montana who's in the military and fighting overseas, and he lost his legs. And he's just barely 20 years of age. But he has a very optimistic attitude. In fact, I haven't met him personally, but I'd like to meet him personally. Just because he doesn't let it get him down. Now, I'm sure he has some struggles, inner struggles. But he's just kind of one of those guys that says, you know, this is what I've got, so I'm going to make the best of it. And he's just kind of a go-getter. But most people that would be in that particular situation would boo-hoo about their situation and woe is me and look at all the things that are I can't do now and get all down and out and be depressed and in anxiety and all those type of things. But that would not make his situation any better if he were like that. It would only deepen the pain. So I have an incredible respect for that man because I am not experiencing that, but I just respect the way he's handling it. And the truth is that all people will face adversity. It may not be that their legs are blown off, But they will face some kind of adversity, and how we handle that adversity is completely up to us. There are some that will try to fix all their problems on their own, and they will end up making matters worse. There are some that try to make all the problems go away by turning to a bottle to drown everything out. Some go to the doctors to try and find out the solution, and they give them a different kind of bottle with some pills in it. And while we may or may not have physical troubles, we will all have mental, emotional, and certainly spiritual trouble. So the question is how do we really overcome the inner issue? How do we get victory over that which plagues our heart and mind, not just our physical body? I give this message tonight, and it's a series I started at Blessed Hope Baptist Church in Frenchtown on overcoming, because I'm watching so many people that are struggling and drowning in their problems. I'm not talking about lost people, I'm talking about Christians. Now, I've got a lot of baby Christians, but I know a lot of good Christians. I keep hearing stories about people that I looked up to that are, they're done. It's kind of quiet in here. And if we're not careful, it could be one of us. None of us are exempt. So when you are faced with a particular issue that you're dealing with in here or in here, how do you overcome that particular problem? I'm just going to give you a couple things tonight. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. And just, even if you're not facing something right now, you probably will in the future, so it'll help you down the road. Or you'll know somebody that's facing something, and you can use this to help them. So hopefully you'll take a little bit of notes tonight and just let it sink in a little bit. Number one, how do you overcome? Number one, first of all, you have to note the enemy. You got to understand who your enemy is, don't you? You can't fight the battle unless you know who your enemy is and how to beat the enemy, right? It doesn't make any sense going into a battle not knowing who you're fighting. You know, if I stepped into the ring with Mike Tyson, I'd know to guard my ears, you know, so he didn't bite them off. And whatnot. And so you got to note the enemy. Let's look at back in the scriptures here. The Bible says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. Whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." Now, we've all heard that before. I mean, this is a Wednesday night crowd, and most of us in here have heard this before. We all understand the spirit of Antichrist is here, and we're like, yeah, I know it's the spirit. But what is the spirit of Antichrist? He's our enemy, right? The Antichrist is our enemy, correct?
Yes, sir.
But what is his spirit? What does that mean? If his spirit is here and it's against us and he's our enemy, then how do we identify him? Well, the Bible gives how we identify whether it's of God or not. That person or that power must either confess or not confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Now you say, well, what's the big deal about this? Well, I know you hear this from the pulpit all the time here, and it's nothing new, but look, secularism is a religion within itself. And it has penetrated Christianity.
Right. Yep.
And you say, no, not me. Yes, you. You are bombarded every single day by the spirit of Antichrist.
Yes, sir.
The secular humanist denies the deity of Jesus Christ. They deny that he has even come in the flesh. They would say there is no Christ. And it's getting more and more where they announce that loudly. They used to kind of be quiet about it, but not anymore. And it's everywhere you turn. You flip on the TV, it's there. You turn on the radio, it's there. It's on the billboards. It's in the magazines. It's in the video games. It's in the movies. You name it, it's there. It's everywhere. And we must be on guard. We must understand our enemy. We must note the enemy. And I say this not to hurt anybody, and hopefully this will be something that will help you. But so many people go to a doctor, a secular doctor, to try and find out their problems for this and this. And they get diagnosed with ADHD or, you know, autism and all kinds of things. They don't even know what autism is yet, but they've got it diagnosed in about 1,000 different ways. And I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but I'm just saying there's these people, and they come and they listen to these secular doctors and say, well, this is what your kid has, or this is what you have, or you're bipolar and you've got this, and so here's how we're going to fix this thing. Here, let me give you a pill. And everybody believes it as this is truth. I'm just saying, where is it? A kid has some kind of behavioral problem, so they diagnose him with something and give him something to put down his throat and say, that'll help you. And we say, okay. And I'm saying it's happening in Christianity all over the place. And I'm guessing it could be even here. As great of a church I believe this is. You must understand that the enemy looks to tear down our faith in every possible way. What he's done is he's trying to look to steer us from the scriptures into a lie and believe on something else and trust on something else other than Jesus Christ. He says, look, you can overcome, or you can get over your problem by coming over here. Look, I've got 10 steps for you to follow, and if you just follow these 10 steps, then you won't be an alcoholic anymore. But that's not what the Bible says. Or if you go to this program and plug into this particular thing, or you have this particular, then sure, you can get over this. And then they diagnose it as some kind of a disease. Everything's a disease now. If I go to a doctor, I know that they're going to diagnose me with all kinds of diseases. They're going to say, man, this guy is weird. In fact, let's lock him up. We'll donate his body to science, you know? And look, the devil is the god of this world. He's the prince and power of the air. He's a lion, and he roams about seeking whom he may devour. Especially unsuspecting Christians. He's not to be taken lightly. He's had thousands of years to perfect his deception. And what he has is he's got a lot of pawns on the chessboard of life in which he manipulates in order to achieve his outcome. And his servants are everywhere. I'm not trying to scare you, but I just want you to know the enemy. We like to think of the devil as, you know, some guy that's horned with a fork, you know, in his hand and, you know, tail shooting out somewhere, and all of his legions of demons are hellish in what they look like, but they're never like that. The Bible says opposite. We all know that they're portrayed as an angel of light. Yep. The thing that's closest to the truth is how they're portrayed. And what has happened is we've got men that step up into a pulpit sometimes or get in some kind of a seminar, and they portray themselves as a man of God, and what they do is get secular humanistic reasoning and they fill it into the lives of Christians, and we sit back there and go, oh yeah, that must be it. And all it is a bunch of psychobabble. And they get everybody hooked on this thing will solve my problem. This will solve my marriage problem. This will solve the problem I have with my kids. This will solve this problem within my life because, you know, I've got anger issues. I've got anxiety issues. I've got, depression issues. And I've got insecurity issues. And if I do these things, if I just hold on to this, then I can get through it. Why don't we just hold on to Christ? What they do, I'm just going to give you a thing here. What they do is they use facts and truths and distort them just a bit, and then they put them out before you and suck you into those things, and then you get caught up in them and say, well, that must be the way it is. Let me give you an example, and I know for here this won't be a big deal, but let me just give you the example of evolution for a second. Now, I don't think anybody in here believes that evolution is true. Oh, at least I hope not, because that's not what the Bible says. But what scientists have done is they used what they call carbon dating to try and prove that evolution is true. Millions and billions of years old, and they use carbon dating. Science has proven that carbon dating is faulty. But yet many people, Christians, will say, well, the scientists must be right because they've got carbon dating, and after all, they're the experts. But didn't God say that in the beginning He created the heaven and the earth? Wasn't He there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. But there's Christians that actually have been duped and believe that. And then they come up with all kinds of theories, stuff like the gap theory, to try, because they can't answer the science. The scientists must be right. No, God's right. But that's an example we'd all agree with, but there's all kinds of other ones. There's all kinds of other ones. What I'm saying tonight is be careful. Note the enemy. Number two, understand the ability to win is within. Understand that the ability to win or overcome is within. Let's say you have a depression problem or an anxiety problem, or you have trouble with insecurity, you got anger issues or bitterness issues or whatever the case may be. That ability to win or overcome that is within. Now, I want to tell you this. That's not some sort of psychobabble that I'm trying to give. This is not a pep talk, and it's not one where I'm going to tell you, now look in the mirror, and every morning when you get up and say, I'm somebody, go get them, you know, and I'm going to win the world. You know, that's not what I'm talking about. Because if I do that and look in the mirror, I go, oh, you know. And that's not the ability to overcome those various struggles, depression, insecurity, discouragement, bitterness, rejection, even false accusations, addictions, all those things are not found within as far as within self, but it's found within because Jesus Christ lives within. The Bible says in verse number 4 here, it says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world. You see, Christ died on the cross and then was resurrected from the dead. He overcame sin and all its various forms. Sin lost its grip at the cross. But in order to access that victory, then we must first acknowledge that we're sinners. Now, I can talk about salvation, but I'm going to not talk about that particularly. I think we understand that tonight. But if we want victory, we must acknowledge that we're still sinners. See, Jesus not only gave us eternal life, but He gives us the ability to vanquish individual sin problems. The modern world today would not classify depression, insecurity, discouragement, bitterness, or even addictions as sin, but they classify them as diseases. In other words, you acquire these things. By the way, it is a disease. It's a sin disease. And you were born into it. But it's not the same disease they're talking about. They think of it as more of something that can be cured outside, with outside means. So what they do is they shoot people up with stuff and give them prescription for this and for that, because it's a disease, and after all, it's like a virus, you know. What we need is to repent of our own works and trust God's work on the cross, and something amazing happens. We have victory. See, the very God of heaven, Jesus Christ, in the form of the Holy Spirit, takes residence up in our body. He actually lives inside us. And I say, most of you say, well, I know that. But do we really know that? We know it here, but do we know it here? Do we really understand the power that's within, that's resting inside of us? Do you understand the God of heaven that sits on the throne, the very one that came down to this earth in the form of man, that same God that in the beginning spoke with just a few words the world into existence. Yes, just by breathing it. Boom, it's there. That kind of power is right here. We say, well, I can't get in. I can't do it. I can't do it. You're right. You can't do it, but he can.
Yes,
sir. Yep. Where do I go? Where do I go? Right here. Right here. He's in. You say, well, I can't say no. I just can't. I got to pick that bottle up again. I can't help it. I can't help walking down that aisle and looking at those magazines. I can't help doing this particular thing. I can't help being angry. I can't help being bitter. Yes, you can. The victory lies within. You have instant access to victory. The Bible says later in the chapter, starting in verse number 13, if your eyes fall down there, it says, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Do you know the Holy Spirit lives in you? You say, well, I'm not sure. Well, maybe you should check on whether or not you're saved. Because you know whether he's inside or not. He bears witness, the Bible says. He testifies of himself. Every time you open the Bible up, the Holy Spirit will testify whether he's there or not, or whether you're saved or not. And that's found in the next chapter, but I won't go there. Verse number 14, it says, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Now, I want you to take your Bibles just for a moment and go to Romans chapter number 8. And I'll let the Bible kind of speak for itself here. Romans chapter number 8, the Bible says, starting in verse number 9, it says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Again, you have to ask yourself a question. Does the Spirit of God dwell in me? Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. When we say we can't help it, what we're basically saying is that we're debtor to the flesh. You can't help it. The Bible says we're not debtors. I don't owe this flesh anything. When it says, you've got to have this. Now, I'm going to use one little illustration. I like Pepsi. And if you like Coke, I'll pray for you. But I like Pepsi and Mountain Dew. I like those things. And I know they're bad for me. I know they're bad for me. But my wife's green. But my flesh likes it. In fact, we went over to Jeff and Jenny's, and Jeff called me and he said, hey, what do you want to drink? And I said, well, I don't know. And he said, well, whatever your weakness is. And I said, Pepsi. Hey, I'm on vacation. It's okay, you know? And I'm just joking. It's probably really not okay. I'll probably pay the price when I get back. But when I go down the aisle in Walmart or wherever I am, and I go down the aisle where the Pepsi is at, there's something in my flesh that says, 2 liter. Yes. One day. Yeah. Keep me going. Yeah. And, but every once in a while I say, wait a minute. My flesh doesn't own me. I don't owe it anything. It doesn't deserve this. just don't know it. And sometimes the reason we struggle so bad is because we forget that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us so that we don't have to live after our flesh anymore. You say, well, I just can't help it. I, you know, when things are going on in my house, I just have to yell at my wife, or I have to yell at my husband, or I have to yell at my kids. I just can't. Yes, you can if you're saved. But it just, it's all inside me and it builds up. You're not debtor to the flesh. Well, I just have to take that drink. You're not debtor to the flesh. You don't have to. Well, I just have to take this pill. It's the only thing that can help me. You're not debtor to your flesh. When will we ever get it? If Christianity is really going to be effective, then we got to learn this principle. America is becoming England. Our Christianity is so weak and pathetic. My Christianity is weak and pathetic. You know why? Because I feed my flesh. I live like I'm in debt to it. No. Jesus Christ takes up residence within me to help me day by day. When I'm struggling, all I have to do is go to Him, because His power and His knowledge and His presence that is so vast that it fills all of eternity is right in with inside me. It's right there to help me. My problem is I just don't access it like I'm supposed to. How about you? Let's just be honest about it, huh? I don't want you to raise your hand, but just think for a moment. Do you have a struggle? You know that you have a problem, something that you have a struggle with, an issue you struggle with, something that you know gets you every time, like it gets your goat, you know, and sometimes burns the goat. Our problem is we just don't access the power. That's why the Apostle Paul said that he wanted to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Because of anybody, the Apostle Paul knew what his flesh did to him. And so he said, let me have a relationship with the Lord. Let me have access and abide in Him, and I'll have victory. Number three is this. Listen to the right voice. And hopefully you don't have voices, like multiple voices in your head. If you do, please don't tell me. But go back to 1 John chapter number 4. This is what I'm going to use. This particular section here is what I'm going to use while at our church there in Frenchtown over the next 8 weeks or so as kind of a launching pad for the rest of the messages, because I'm going to deal with individual things. I've already dealt with one insecurity from the scripture. Some of you probably deal with that problem. You're insecure on some things and you just struggle with insecurity. You know, the Bible gives a way to have victory over that. Some of you struggle with depression, and the Bible gives a way to have victory over that. And it may always be a struggle, but you can overcome. Always overcome. The fight will always be there. But it's just a matter of taking the victory. Verses 5 and 6. The Bible says, they are of the world. It's talking about those that are of Antichrist. Therefore, speak they of the world, and listen to this, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We must understand that there are many false teachers in this world. And with that means the logical conclusion is that there are many false voices that can be heard. And they're everywhere. They're all over the place. And they bombard us and penetrate us. And we see them and listen to them. But if we want to overcome, then we got to listen to the right voice. And since the Bible is the very words of God, then it is safe to conclude that the best advice is given from the Scriptures. And some of those things that are in the Scriptures may go very contrary to what the popular belief is in the world. And I know Pastor Jerry stands up in this pulpit all the time and talks about the things that are going on in the world, and tries to get some of you to wake up every once in a while and say, listen to what I'm telling you, because if you don't listen, down the road you're going to be in my office for a while sitting in a counseling session, and I have to put everything back together again. And don't look too close, but have you noticed he's got a lot of gray hair? That's not because of his daughters, I don't think. But it is something because of some of you. I'm not trying to put you on a guilt trip. It's because you won't listen to the right voice. And there's some people that sit back and buck and, well, I don't think that's right. I don't believe that. Why don't you believe it? Let me ask you a question. Why don't you believe it? Well, I just don't think. You're right. You don't think. But seriously, why is it what he's saying wrong? Well, I just feel like that it's not right for me. I've heard that. And I'm thinking, but the Bible transcends time and eternity. Amen. It transcends culture.
Yes. Right.
I've heard people tell us, and I'm so sick of this, it just drives me up the wall. The West is different than the East. And, you know, the Northeast is different than the Southeast. And, yeah, there are cultural differences. But we all have the same problem, sin. And either the Bible is true, it's all true, or I might as well just pack up and go home. And I know there's little things that people bicker over that aren't worth a hoot at all, because it's not really found in the Scriptures. But can I tell you something? Look, would you listen to the pastor when he's preaching the Bible? And then let me give you a piece of advice. Take notes. I promise he won't get on you about it. And then go back and look at what the Bible says. And ask yourself, is what he said right here in front of me? And don't try and read between the lines, because God meant what he said when he said it. Well, I think God meant this. No, he said what he meant, and he meant what he said. I'm trying to help you tonight. Look, I'm the outsider now, and so I can say stuff and then go home and say, oh no, you know. But he did it to us earlier, so I figured it's all right, you know. I want to help you, because look, you can overcome. There's a generation that's coming up behind, and if they don't see the older ones overcoming, they won't overcome. I heard it once said that Christianity in America is just one generation from extinction. Think about it. You know what's great? The Bible promises in verse 4, he says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. It's not a matter of if you can overcome. You have overcome. You just have to go to a place where you get victory all the time. It's right there. I began this message with a humorous story of two frogs. Frog number one looked at the situation that he was faced with and just gave up. He said, I can't do it anymore. He let his fears, his anxiety, his discouragement get the best of him, and it destroyed him. Frog number two chose to make the best of what he was offered and simply kept pushing on, worked at it, struggled with it, and overcame the situation that he was in. I want you to think for just a moment now what struggles you are having even at this moment. Maybe only a few know what you're struggling with, or maybe no one knows at all except for you. Concerning those areas in which you're thinking of right now, which frog would you be? Maybe it's a particular temptation or addiction that you have. Do you give in to it immediately and you don't put up much of a fight? Maybe you are overcome with depression or anxiety or insecurity or bitterness, discouragement, rejection. Have you just given in to those things? You just given up and say, I can't help myself? Are you going to just let them take you to the grave? There is hope, and you can have victory if you are a Christian, because the power rests in you through Jesus Christ. If you're fighting with these things and struggling to have victory, then maybe this is a question for you. What are the voices that you are listening to? There are many false prophets in this world, and they're all the pawns of Satan. Don't be swept away by their fancy talk. Don't be swept away by the fact that they have PhD or MD or whatever letters that they have at the back of their name, in the front of their name, and underneath their name, and over the top of their name. Don't be awed by their intellectual status and say, well, wow, they worded that well, and it makes me feel so good. Just listen to the Word of God. Let it really help you. Let it help not just the symptom, but let it deal with the root of the problem so that you can truly handle it. But all of this is going to take honesty within yourself. If you don't think you have problems or struggles, and you don't, have something that you're dealing with, can I just tell you something? You lie to yourself, and you'll never have victory. You must first admit that there are a problem or problems and that they need fixed. You must identify your enemy, and you just must access Jesus Christ, and you will overcome. Will you face your problems head on and with God's help get some serious victory? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. And Lord, I pray that this was a help and a blessing to the people tonight. I pray that it wasn't something to beat them up. I want them to understand that they have victory. They don't have to do the things that they're doing. They can walk away from those things. And I understand, Lord, that there's going to be times where we fall down, we trip and fall, and we stumble. Lord, and in those times, sometimes we're going to struggle to get back up. We're going to lay in the ditch. God, I pray you would help us to call out to you. And I know, if I know my God well enough, you'll pick us up out of the ditch. Set us on our feet, dust us off, and get us on our way. God, help everyone in this church, help every Christian to overcome. That this world might see Christianity in its full glory. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen.